Hey, what's up, everyone, and welcome back to It's a Book Thing. I'm your host, Michaela, and I just gotta shed some light on the elephant in the room. Yes, I have been gone for a while. I don't even necessarily know, like, what to say about that. I mean, there's so much stuff that has happened in the brief period of time that I have. Wow, thank you, dude. I don't know if y'all can hear that, but behind me, my dog is drinking water, so that is one of the many new things that have happened that has developed over these couple months. I should say that these past couple months have been really difficult and challenging because of coronavirus, and because then we had this Black Lives Matter movement, which is still ongoing as I'm recording as of July 7th. It is still ongoing. And so there was a lot of things that I had to kind of step back and talk about with myself and kind of had to feel like figure out. And then on top of that, I started a new job. And so it was a lot of things happening all at once. And I was trying to finish my second semester of college. And it was just really challenging. So I figured I'd kind of take this first part, because the book I'm talking about is it's a standalone book. It's a short book, so I figured, you know, it's okay if I talk a little bit longer, because the actual book talk is probably going to be pretty short. I'm not entirely sure yet, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a little shorter than it usually is, but what can I say? Anyways, so I had schooling stuff with school. It was just kind of, it sucked because I was taking my first acting class as a theater major, and I was really excited about it because I was really, really excited to get back in the groove of acting and stuff. I was doing more technical stuff the first semester of school, and then I also wasn't doing any I wasn't doing any productions or anything so that I could kind of just, you know, get into the hang of college. So I didn't do any acting, I didn't do any shows. And so I was really excited to get to do this acting class because I was really missing it. And so that was a bummer to have to do that class online, because acting classes are not, that's not an online class that you can do, really. I mean, you can, like, videotape yourself doing a monologue, but that's not what our class ended up being. We ended up having to do research on acting, different acting styles, which was really, really boring, and we had to do some analyses sounds best, on movies, you know, kind of discussing their acting styles and whatnot. And so it was all right. It wasn't that fun. And then on top of that, I wasn't able to really record during this time because we had a foreign exchange student at our house. I love her, Coco. I miss her so much because she's now gone. She's gone back to her country because of all the coronavirus, but obviously I didn't want to be recording while she was doing stuff, and there wasn't really anywhere that I could record that would work for me, because you kind of, at least for me, I kind of like to have a bigger open space, because I like to move my arms around, and I didn't need a lot of background noise, and I needed somewhere that was like my own personal space. So that was a little difficult. That's why I couldn't record during that time. And then, you know, coronavirus just hit us all differently. And for me, it just made me super unmotivated to do anything. And I felt like, you know, what's the point? Like, not like, oh, that sounded really, really worrisome. Not like that, but I just felt like, what's the point of, you know, waking up and looking nice and being productive and stuff, because it's not like we're going to be able to do anything for a while, you know what I mean? So that's also why I didn't do anything. And then, look, and now I'm going to take a second and discuss the Black Lives Matter movement, because while the coronavirus is still ongoing and it still freaks me out, because I was working in an actual office whenever the quarantine lifted, and now I'm having to work from home again, so it's a little, you know, it's still very prevalent and everything, and it's still out there, but I feel iffy discussing this, honestly, and I know I shouldn't, because as an ally, I have a voice that is could potentially reach different people for the Black Lives Matter movement, and so I should use that. But it is awkward because I feel like, obviously, as a white woman, I'm never going to understand the struggles of any Black person or any person of color, ever. I will never understand that. I won't. And I don't know, to be honest, it really breaks my heart that it's 2020 and we're still having to protest and say, hey, can you stop killing people in the streets? Can you stop playing judge, jury, and executioner, like, right on Main Street? And for people to say, you know, they're bad people and they shouldn't have committed crimes and blah, blah, blah. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter what type of person they are. Because, oh my gosh, I'm going to get heated. But there was a mass murderer, and they walked him out of that building. Cops walked him out of the building with a bulletproof vest on, and then they got him freaking food. They got him freaking dinner. I mean, so obviously it's not a how bad of a person are they, because if they feared for their life that much, you know, because he was a freaking mass murderer at that point, they would have just shot him right there if that was what this whole issue was about. But it's not. This whole issue is about race. It's about race. It's about people being racist. It's about cops being racist. And I can't even be like, it sucks, because I can't justify any cops. I really can't. And believe me, I have my uncle is a cop, and I love him with everything in me. I love that man. And, you know, if he ever needed me to do anything for him, if he wanted me to watch his kids, he's a good person. But his profession and him being a cop, all cops are bastards. And that's where ACAB comes from. And it's not saying that, like, all cops are inherently bad. It's saying that they all work for an unjust system. That's just what people are saying. It's not like people are saying, oh, all cops are bad, we should kill all cops. No, because no one thinks that. No one thinks that all cops are bad. But they do think that enough cops are bad and there hasn't been enough done to reprimand those bad cops that now all cops are bastards, because all cops are falling into that systematic racism that, you know, that are laws and that are... Oh my gosh, I really love words sometimes. You know, it's the systematic racism that's going on in our world. And I mean, there's no way to say, like, oh no, I'm not for that part, and not stand up for it. You know what I mean? And I mean, and it sucks, because even when they do stand up for it, it's not like they're getting, like, praised and stuff by their departments. I mean, a man just last week said, hey, I support the Black Lives Matter movement, and he got freaking fired, and he was a cop. Are you kidding me right now? That's ridiculous. Anyways, look, I could make an entire episode about this, and honestly, I would love to, honestly, because I have a lot of ideas and I have a lot of opinions that I would love to voice, i.e. how defund the police does not mean get rid of all cops. That is one of the most, I'm going to talk about this real quick. Defund the police does not mean get rid of the police. It does not mean, hey, let's just take away all their jobs. No, it means taking away their ridiculously large budget that they get. They get like billions of dollars, at least in New York. They got like, I think it was like 5.6 billion. I don't know. I'd have to look up the exact numbers, but they got a lot of money. A lot of money. and then y'all can't even do your jobs correctly. Hey, we're not barking right now. Thank you. You can't even do your jobs correctly. You're sitting out there and you're killing people in the street because you fear for your life. If you fear for your life that much, you shouldn't be a cop. I'm sorry. But defund the police means taking away that large amount of money and allocating it to different resources. It means taking some of that money and putting it aside for drug and rehab centers. There we go. For people who get caught with, you know, weed and drugs and all the stuff in the system, I don't feel like we should just go ahead and lock them up, because how is that helping them? You're going to put them in withdrawal and then they're going to get out and then they're going to go look for a score again. We should be taking them and putting them in rehab centers to help them get over their drug addictions. I don't get why that's such a big issue. Hell, why don't we take some of that money and put it towards our education system and have kids actually get lunch instead of, you know, having starving kids at our freaking education centers? Or there's so much wrong, and there's so many things that we could be doing that no one is doing, and it's just and everyone's fighting about this they're fighting about it like we haven't already been through this. I mean, I'm sorry, we went through the Civil War. Was that not? And I swear to God, if someone comes up here and says, oh, it was about states' rights. States' rights to what? States' rights to have slaves, dude. I swear, that is my biggest, like, whenever people go, oh, well, it wasn't just about slavery. Okay, what was it about? States' rights. Okay, what were their states trying to fight for? Slaves. Are you kidding me right now? Did we not take the same history class? And then it's that same idea where we also went through this in the 70s and the 60s with segregation. And you mean to tell me that y'all are still on the wrong side of history? This is a retest. We have all the answers in our little textbooks. If you would just, I don't know, sit down and be like, huh, let me read a freaking textbook. Because everyone, the side of the argument that is fighting and saying, like, oh, all lives matter, which no one's saying that all lives don't matter, but that's a whole other discussion. The people on that side that are saying that are always about saying, facts over feelings. But we're giving facts. We are citing our sources. And you're just saying, huh, I don't like that. Huh, that makes me look like a bad guy. Yeah, because you're racist. That's why you want to know why it makes you feel bad? Because you're a racist. Sign still delivered. Finito. If you feel bad about people saying, oh, Black Lives Matter, please stop shooting us in the streets, you're inherently racist. There is no other thing to say other than you are a racist. Sorry about it. Actually, not sorry about it. Stop being a racist. Anyways, this has gone on for quite a long time, and heck, if anyone wants me to discuss this, I guess come at me and say, do a whole freaking episode about it, because I could put out a bonus episode just talking about Black Lives Matter movement and systemic racism and all that stuff, because I have a lot of thoughts and I haven't been able to see any of my friends to talk about them with. So I would love to just talk to a microphone and look at my laptop. Anyways, let's just get into the meat and potatoes of why y'all guys came here in the first place, and that is the book talk. So today we're going to be discussing The Sun Is Also a Star by Nicola Yoon, pretty sure. Fingers crossed. Which, I mean, this is a fun little, I love this book because it's a contemporary, which I actually really, really love. Truth be told, I love reading contemporaries in the summer, especially like whenever I go on vacation, because obviously, like, you don't want to be sitting there reading a whole series. Well, maybe you do, but like in the summer, I feel like, I don't know. Am I the only one that feels like that? Like how you kind of read certain genres at certain times? Because I do that all the time, where I read contemporaries and love stories in the summer. Because I don't know. I just feel like it's such a, I don't know. Anyways, The Sun Is Also a Star. So basically this book is, I don't want to like spoil so much of it in case, you know, you haven't read this book, because, you know, it's very easy to spoil, like, contemporaries and to kind of, I don't know. Anyways, but this book is about Natasha, who is a black woman who is Jamaican, or she was born in Jamaica, so she is an immigrant. And so she's an illegal immigrant because her father came overstayed his visa, and then the same happened with, you know, his wife and stuff. And so they all came over. But now they got deported because of something that dad did. Wow, way to go, Kayla, for spoiling a lot of things. Anyways, so it follows Natasha and her journey of trying not to get deported and trying very hard to kind of make it so that she can stay in America. And then we have Daniel. And Daniel is an Asian American who, during this book, is supposed to be doing an interview for, I didn't write it down, but I'm pretty sure it's for Yale, like 95% sure it's Yale. I hope it. Let's just say it is. Anyways, so he's trying to get into this prestigious college, and then things you need to know, Natasha's super like, science, facts and figures, stuff like that. And Daniel's more like feelings and vibes and whatnot. He writes poetry, she researches the stars, and that's about it. And then they happen to meet, and so Daniel is trying to get Natasha to fall in love with him in a day, because he's trying to procrastinate and not have to go to his meeting. I'm pretty sure that's how I took it. Well, I'm pretty sure that's what the whole thing is. But anyways, with that said, and seeing as I just spoiled like a good chunk of the book, why don't we just go ahead and get into the book talk? Off the back, I just want to say that I absolutely adore the way that this book is written. Because, yeah, it has the two points of views and stuff, but it also has the point of view of, like, the universe and, like, this omnipotent figure. And it's, like, amazing, and I love it so much, and it's fantastic. And then it also has, like, different points of views from people that they meet and all this stuff, and I love that it kind of symbolizes how everything is connected and how we're all connected in this way. And oh my god, I love it so much. I can't. Anyways, so I just love the way that it's written, because it also just kind of feels like time is fluid and time is going in all these different ways and whatnot. So I think that's amazing. Now, going into the actual characters. Daniel, I think he's adorable. I love him so much. The entire book, I was like, I almost didn't like the Natasha scenes as much as I loved it, like the Natasha chapters as much as I loved the Daniel chapters. Because the Natasha chapters were just so, I understand that her whole character trait is that she just doesn't believe in anything. That's a bad way to put it. She's just super pessimistic the entire book. And you know, that might work for some people. Apparently it works for Daniel. I could not stand it if I had to be around someone who was that pessimistic all the freaking time. Like, all the freaking time. Sorry. Okay. I was dealing with Stella. But, Stella's also my dog. FYI. Anyways. So, so she's just so pessimistic all the time. And I just love the Daniel chapters instead, because he's just so hopeful and flirty and fun and, you know, Deus ex machina? I don't know how to say that. Anyways, but he's like, that must be a sign and all this other stuff. And I love it so much. And I just think it's so freaking funny. Anyways, so. And then Natasha. Now, I keep ragging on Natasha, but she's not really that bad. Like, she's a good character and I love her. More towards the end, I love her more. And I wouldn't mind if she was a little nicer in the beginning, but, you know, you can't always get what you want. You feel me? But I do feel for her, and I feel really bad for her, because she ends up having a mental breakdown in, like, the first scene, and she's like, dude, please, I don't want to, like, get deported. And the whole time, I'm just like, why? The whole time, you're just sitting there, and you're like, oh, there's no way she's going to get deported. They're falling in love. There's no way. And then one of the biggest things that just hit me like 10 bricks is at the very end when she gets deported. Are you freaking kidding me? That's so ridiculous. Anyways, it was really sad. But I just, I felt so bad for her. And then I felt bad for the guy that was like, there's nothing I can do. And then he was like, nah, maybe there's something I can do. And I'm like, why didn't you just tell her that in the first place? But whatever. Okay, moving on to some of my least favorite characters. Charlie. Charlie sucked. I hate Charlie, and he's a douchebag, and he only does one good thing in the entire book, which, actually, there's a whole chapter about how Charlie is just a massive douchebag, and how he doesn't do anything, that he doesn't do anything nice until literally, like, the end of the book when he gives Natasha Daniel's phone number, but, like, that's about it. But I just hate him, and I also don't like the dad, and, I mean, I feel for the dad, but, like, look, if my dreams of becoming a professional actress do not work out and I end up having kids, I'm not going to keep following my dream. That sounds bad. I'm not going to keep following my dream when I have people to provide for it. That is a thing that you do whenever you do not have a family to support, okay? And I'm all about, you know, following your dreams and stuff. But with a little, like, you know, let's be realistic. Let's get a job while we're trying to go for our dreams. Like, if I don't get my dream job, you know, I'll just go ahead and do another job on the side and, you know, do some auditions on the weekends. Why not? If I had a kid. This all stems from if I ever have a kid. Like, in this hypothetic scenario, if I had a kid, I would forego my dreams to support them, is what I'm trying to say. Anyways, that's just how I feel about it, and I just wish that the dad would just be a little more responsible, and I feel like that's kind of where Natasha's pessimism, there we go, why don't we just say that word, I feel like that's where she gets all of her stuff, all of her, like, negative qualities, if I could say, about her. Because I feel like she's had to be more responsible in her life. She's seen where dreaming gets you, and it doesn't get you far in her father's case. So, I just feel bad for her. The whole book, I kind of just feel bad for Natasha. And it's not just because she's getting deported. It's because she's, like, never optimistic, and she doesn't have, like, a good thing going for her in her entire life. Like, look. She had her ex-boyfriend. Her ex-boyfriend sucks. He wasn't good to begin with. Don't know why Natasha dated him anyways, but, I mean, that's on her. And then her best friend is just, like, I don't know. We don't even see her best friend anymore, but she's annoying. And I guess Natasha has the science thing going for her, and she likes her science class, but that's about it. And I just feel like she didn't have anything good going on in her life until Daniel came around. And honestly, we don't really see anything about Daniel's, like, personal life. We see that he likes to write poetry. That's great. And he has a good relationship with his mom, and his brother sucks. And then, you know, obviously his dad. But, like, I digress. But it's just so weird. Now I'm going into, like, their, like, lovey-dovey parts. And I said this in the Scarlet episode, which if you haven't watched or listened to the Scarlet episode, I mean, I guess listen to it. If you want to know what I'm talking about. Oh, also, if you haven't read Scarlet, which is in the Lunar Chronicle series, don't listen to this part. But I had a big issue with this whole puppy love, like, type of thing in the Scarlet book. But I liked it in this book, which I can't even describe why I like it. And I feel like I liked it more in this book because I felt like in the Scarlet book, I feel like in a series, you can kind of, you have that obligation to build up that relationship and whatnot. But in this book, and it's bad that I'm saying that they didn't build up their relationship, because they did. But I feel like in this book, I was able to give it some liberties in being faster, because obviously it's a standalone book, it's not a series. So I was okay with it. But things that drove me crazy is whenever he was just like, oh, our future children, and oh, whenever we get married, and oh, like, our future lives. Like, Daniel, like, dude, chill. Like, I get that your whole concept is let's fall in love in a day, but, like, you can fall in love in a day and not, like, instantly be like, oh, let's get married, oh, let's have kids and stuff like that. In fact, a lot of Daniel's like inner monologuing about Natasha drove me up the wall. Like, he's obsessed with her legs. And I don't know why that disturbed me so much. And I mean, I get it. You can have like your little, and it's not a kink, preference, fetish. You can have your body parts that you like more. I don't know. You can have your attractions to whatever you please. But like, dude, the amount of times he comments on her legs drove me crazy. I couldn't even. I don't know. I can't. Going into more of the kind of serious topics, I guess, we do end up having this idea of this kind of inner racism within different ethnic groups. Because, I mean, I feel like you see a lot in books where they kind of try to talk about racism. I feel like you see a lot that it's one group versus the other group, if that makes sense. Like, it's... like, okay, like, you see a lot of white people versus black people, but I don't feel like there's ever been, I don't want to say, like, ever in the history books, but I feel like you don't really get to see a lot of racism between different ethnic groups, so, like, the Asian Americans and the African Americans, you know, so, basically between Daniel's family and with Natasha and that whole like romance thing, and then Daniel's family and how they feel about, because you end up reading it in one of the books that Charlie ends up marrying a white woman, and then there's like this inner turmoil between their families, and obviously Charlie ends up like not really giving two shits about his family in the end, which I guess you can do that if you're a jerk, but whatever. I can't. I hate Charlie so much. Anyways, I just feel like I really liked seeing this new perspective, at least for me, because obviously I'm not either side, and I have never felt oppressed like this ever before in my entire life, and I've never had to worry about, like, oh, you know, my generations of family members, what will they think if I started dating someone of a different race or whatever, because I've never had to deal with that personally. So I just feel like it was really interesting to see how, I don't even think, like, how they had different prejudices and how those affected how the relationship went. And I get it, like, you know, it's within one day. Obviously, it's just within one day, but in that one day, you get so much information packed, and you get to see Daniel be worried about what his parents will think, and then he has to be like, no, look, if I'm trying to get her to fall in love with me in a day, I can't be so worried about that, and I have to actually, you know, I don't even know how he feels. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, I can't let prejudices stop me if I'm actually in love with this girl, which, look, I get that he's trying to convince Natasha, but Natasha's basically in love with him from the get-go, and I know that, like, you can be like, oh no, she's playing coy, but no, she fell in love with him the first second she stepped eyes on him, and that's just a fact. But I don't know, I just, I loved it so much. Okay, talking about some of my, talking about some of my, the scenes in the book that stuck out to me. Major scene in the book that stuck out to me, the karaoke scene. I bring this up because, dear Lord, why? They were like 0.5 seconds away from literally having sex in the karaoke room. And I wrote down like, well, when they entered the karaoke booth and it was just themselves, I wrote down, because I have my notebook, I wrote down, please do not have sex in this karaoke booth. Please don't do it. And then it gets to that part where, like, they're literally making out, and I'm like, y'all are, and I, like, in all caps, I'm like, y'all are not gonna have sex in this freaking, like, karaoke booth. Are you freaking kidding me? I was so shooketh, and I can't, I couldn't. It was driving me crazy. It was driving me crazy. I couldn't. Anyways. 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 I can't. Okay. Moving into the sadder parts. Well, actually, look, there's not a lot of things to talk about with this book, because I feel like, you know, a lot of this book talk is like, oh yeah, Natasha and Daniel falling in love, like, and, you know, that's important and stuff, but it's also like, I don't want to say I've seen it before, but I've kind of seen it before, which, I mean, look, you got the girl playing hard to get, the guy's trying to make her fall in love with him, classic Wattpad story, am I right? And then you think for a second the girl's all, you know, pessimistic, and she's like, I'm not going to fall in love with you. I have XYZ stopping me from doing this. And then you get that breaking point where she's like, you get that breaking point where she decides that, like, she wants to fall in love with the person. And then they get the fight, which is, you know, the fight with Natasha and Daniel. Anyways. There's a fight with them, and that's just, meh, I don't really care about that one that much, and it was okay, but obviously it was only done to have tension in the book and have some sort of, like, will they, won't they, which the whole time you're like, will they, won't they, but obviously they will, and you know it from the beginning that they will, and it's just obviously, it's obvious that they're gonna get together eventually. And then you get the romantic parts and stuff like that, and then bam, something happens and things are bad, and so they break away, and now it's a race against the clock, and then they get together, and then something tragic happens and they can't be together, but then in the end they get together. I mean, I just I feel like that's basically a Wattpad book. Honestly, this whole book, I was just like, this feels like a really well done Wattpad book, if that makes sense. Like, the plot and stuff felt very Wattpad-y, but, like, the execution of it, I'm not saying that this was a bad book, because I really love this book, like, and I feel like it's not conveying as much how I love this book, but when I have these book talks, I kind of like to talk about the negative things, and obviously the good things are like, oh my gosh, I love this so much, but then the negative things is what takes the longest time to talk about in the book, because I have to discuss why I didn't like it, which we both know that I can talk about that a lot. Anyways, so it's whatever, and I really love this book, and I love how in the end she does get deported. It's a love-hate situation, but I love that in the end it's like, no, sometimes you don't get what you want, sometimes life just sucks, and sometimes it happens for a reason, because then in the end, oh my freaking gosh, with, what is her name? Hold on a second, I'm gonna try to find it. Irene, there we go. I love Irene. Irene is she's my star. I love her so much. I did think in the beginning, whenever she had her little chapter, I did think she was gonna kill herself, which made me really, really sad. And I was like, Irene, please don't do it. I love you. And I was just like, things are gonna get better, and then things do get better, and she ends up being a flight attendant, and then she meets Natasha, she's like, Natasha, well, she doesn't say her name, but she's like, I don't know if you know this, but, like, you basically saved my life and all this stuff, and I'm like, oh, it makes your heart break a little bit, and it just makes you cry a little bit. And then it ends up that they meet on the plane, which, look, I ended up watching the movie after I read this book. Hated the movie. The movie was trash. I'm just gonna point that out there. The movie just sucked, and I hated it so much. But that's one thing that I loved, that the endings were very different in both of the books. So in the ending, in the movie, they end up meeting at a coffee shop, and Daniel's doing a poem, or he's reading one of his poems or whatever. But I love the way that this book ends, because it's like, they see each other on the plane, and it kind of just, and then it just ends there, and they're like, Natasha, Daniel, and it's just, it's that sweet, like, it's satisfying, that you know at the end that they get together, and you know at the end, like, you know in the future, and I love this because it makes good, like, fan fiction fodder, which, I used to love reading fan fiction, and I don't read it as much anymore just because I have so many books to read that I'm like, I don't want to read, you know, when you have a lot of books to read, you're like, I can't really sit down and read a bunch of fan fiction. Or maybe that's just me. But endings like these make such great fan fiction fodder. And I think I said the same thing about the Lunar Chronicle series, which I'm right about that too. It does make good fan fiction fodder. And I love that because, you know, the ending is so like abrupt, and I don't want to say abrupt, but it's so like, there's so many unanswered questions, but there's so many questions that at least I haven't thought of that could be answered with the fan fiction, or, you know, there's so many questions that could be answered. It kind of has that feeling of like that book that Hazel Grace in The Fault in Our Star reads, and she has all these questions and whatnot, and oh, what happened to these people? What happened to this and whatnot? It has that same vibe, and I just, honestly, I love that. And I just, look, I could sit here and rave about Nicolo Yoon's writing like for another 20 minutes, but I won't because that might bore y'all. But she writes such good books because she also writes, or wrote, she wrote, let me see if I can find it on my bookshelf. Oh my gosh, what book did she write? Am I going crazy? Everything, Everything. There we go. It's like, what book did she write? She wrote Everything, Everything. I love that book too. And I just, her writing style is just amazing. And I love it. And it's fantastic. And it's so captivating. And I just think she's fantastic at writing and at creating really likable characters. Because even though I sat here for like 20 minutes and talked about how Natasha is such an unlikable character, she's got gumption. And I love her so much for that. And she's got, there's so many good things about Natasha. Like, she's self-driven, and she won't give up without a fight, and she's loyal to the very end. And I just, she's so sweet, and I think she doesn't get enough credit. I didn't give her enough credit, at least. But, like, at the end of the book, I can sit back and go, you know, Natasha really, I didn't like her at the beginning of the book, but end of the book, Natasha, with her growth and everything, fantastic. Chef's kiss. I love it so much. So, I think that's going to be all for this book talk, because there's not really a lot more. I mean, I could sit here and talk about every single scene point per point, but I feel like a lot of the feelings that I had during a lot of the scenes are the same feelings I had in a lot of the scenes that I already discussed, if that makes sense. So, that's going to be the end of the book talk, and I think overall I'm going to give this book, I'm going to give it a 4 out of 5 stars, and then grading-wise, I'm going to give it, like, an 87, 88, because I liked it, but it's not, like, at least this type of book where it's instantly falling in love, it's not my favorite thing to read, and it did feel super rushed, and I don't like it when they tell me, oh, these people are going to fall in love in the end. I kind of like to be a little bit surprised, if that makes sense, even though, you know, you can totally tell if someone's going to fall in love with them. But I like to be just a little bit more surprised, and off the bat, I just knew that it was going to happen the whole time, because Daniel literally told us that it was going to happen the whole time, so. But anyways, that's all I have to say about The Sun is Also a Star, and so if you want to follow me, my Instagram is ITS period a book thing. That's my Instagram. And then my Twitter, because I just made a new Twitter. I'm super proud of it. I like to rant about some books on it, and it's fantastic. So it's ITS but underscore a book thing. And so yeah, if you guys want to come and chat, and please, I beg of you, come chat with me. Because right now this feels very one-sided, but if y'all would love to come chat with me, I would appreciate that so much. And until then, keep on reading and stay groovy, y'all. Okay, whatever. Bye.